Thank you, David. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. I have to marvel at the scripture that Brother David opened with this morning. It's really the whole topic of my sermon. It's where I'm going to go. We're going to circle right back to it, read it again, talk about it a little bit. But it's the workings of God, I'm sure. Today I'm going to speak to you a little about the importance of being a part of the body of Christ and participating in that pleasure that you have to be a part of the body of Christ. It's once you have become a part of the body, it's important to be a useful and active member, active in doing your part, bringing your best to the master. It makes the body, the whole body, the best it can that it can be. And I would like to try to explain that it takes all of us, it takes every one of us to be as good as we can be. So it's important to be there. I am going to begin, I have several scriptures. I know you've heard them all. They're nothing going to be new, but I'm going to begin in Luke 18, and I'm going to read verses 18 through 23. If you're expecting me to project them up there, I'm not. The only reason this is on because of something that's going to come a little later. I don't know if you can hear me or not. That seemed like it's a little, throw it on the floor. That won't work either. Verses 18 through 23. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth up." Now Jesus heard these things, and he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute among the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Let's look back at what's going on, what's happening. A young man, we don't know how old he is, a young man, a rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus, and he wants something. He's looking for something. He is looking to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. He's looking to live for all eternity. You know, people have searched for the fountain of youth throughout history. They have conquered nations trying to find it. They have spent all their time, all their money looking for it, to live forever. And this man knows that there is a way. It's called eternal life with the Lord. He says, "I want it. What do I have to do to get it?" The answer, in short, was forsake the life that you have. You know, he had a lot of things. They were precious to him, obviously, from the story. He said, "You have to forsake those things." I don't think the moral of the story is about us giving everything away and giving it all to the poor. It was this man had to change his life. Give up that which was obviously precious to him. As we read the story, he wasn't able to do it. But Jesus says, give that up, forsake that life, and follow me. Follow Jesus Christ. To follow someone means you're willing to submit your will, your understanding to theirs. Christ says to this man, "You have possessions that you're anchored to. You want them. If you're going to follow me, it will do you no good. He tells of a new path that we need to have to become a new creature. And to do that, we have to follow Jesus Christ. And to do that, we have to be born again. Very important. You're born again to become a new creature. Jesus explained to another ruler, you know, all these rulers are coming to Jesus. You know, they're seeing the power of this man. They're seeing the following he has. Now they're questioning, what is going on? How do we do these things? So another ruler, his name was Nicodemus, he came to Jesus also, and he had questions. And in John 3, 1 through 16, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher, come from God. He understands exactly who Jesus was. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Born again. Become a new creature. Except he be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. This is exactly what the first young ruler wanted, was the kingdom of heaven. To have eternal life. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? He can enter into the second time to his mother womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? And knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do not know, and testify that we have not seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, you'd believe it not. How shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here, Jesus is prophesying about what is going to take place. That he's going to be sacrificed for our sins. Thou, whoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is the same message. He's calling him to come unto Christ. Come unto that gift that God has given us, and only through him, only through the one that was lifted up, that was sent from heaven to be that sacrifice, can you have eternal life. It was a new life. He said, you understand the things of the world. You even question the things of the world. How can you understand all these things that are spiritual if you are not spiritual? Our spirit, the spirit that each one in this room possesses, is more excellent when it is in harmony with God than the physical body ever can be. Every one of us, especially those that are my age and older, understand the weaknesses of the body. But the spirit never grows weak unless we allow it to. Unless we do not subject ourselves to those things which will keep us in harmony with God and give us strength and lift us up. Hey, God has given us things to help us do that. I want to take us back in time before the days of Jesus. There were prophets that went around, talked to the Jews, tried to keep them strong, tried to keep them the right path, tried to prepare them to understand Christ when he came. There was a prophet. His name was Elijah. He headed up on top of Mount Carmel. It's quite an interesting place. Been there a couple of times. Some of you have been there a couple of times, or at least once. There he found the Israelites, a large number of them. They were God's people. And they claimed to be God's people. And they worshiped God, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham. But they were listening and also worshiping pagans and idols there on Mount Carmel. This is where Elijah challenges the very power of idol worship. I hope you remember this story. You know, they built this altar and they said, let's call down fire from heaven. You call your gods? And let's see if it consumes the fire. I'll call my God. We'll see if it consumes the sacrifice. And so the idol worshipers, they built their got their sacrifice ready. They called down their God. No fire consumed it. They called it some more. No fire consumed it. They started cutting themselves. They started doing all kinds of things. I got to love Elijah. He's the only person I know of that uses a lot of sarcasm in the Bible. You know, oh, where's your God? He must be out taking a journey. Some people believe that means he's going to the bathroom. But he's trying to intimidate him. You know, he's really mocking them. You know, nothing's happening. Well, they finally gave up. He said, my turn. So he pours water all over his. How can this catch on fire? You know, I just drenched this with water. It wasn't just water. It was ocean water. It had salt in it. It made it even harder to consume. He calls down fire. Boom, it's gone. He proved that there was a God, and it wasn't the God of the idols. But then he talked to the people of Israel. 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to do this? How long are you going to ride the fence, not convinced of the God that you should worship? How long are you going to stay in two different worlds? He calls them out. You can't do this. It doesn't work. There's a good God. There's a false God. There's a God that has power. There's one that does not. How long are you going to go between the two of them? The same question applies to us. Are we undecided of where we are going to be? Just like the young ruler, we have two choices. We have this world. We have every possession of this world. We have every luxury of this world in this country. It is right there. It is right there for us. Do we put our strength, do we put our desire in those things? Or do we follow God? Are we undecided on what we are going to do in this life? Have we not made the choice to follow God yet? What's in our minds? What are we thinking? I'm not sure I want to make that commitment. I'm not sure there's really a Jesus Christ. I'm not sure I really want eternal life. What is it? I'm not ready to give up what I have. If you're at that age of accountability, you're accountable. That's why they call it accountability. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? Are you wondering what you have to do to have eternal life? Do you not already know? Elijah said it. The next words, how long are you going to halt between the two opinions? He says, if the Lord be God, same thing Jesus said to the ruler, follow him. Follow me. Give up this life. Come a new creature. Follow me. You know, in the very next chapter, Elijah, he's becoming a little depressed. You know, he did this great thing there, but then he walks off and he's depressed. You know, I got all these Israelites and they were going the wrong way. And so he goes up into a mountain and he's crying unto God. I'm going to read 1 Kings 19, 10 through 12. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord. In other words, I've done everything I could. I've taught everything I could. I've done the work that you asked me to do. I've been jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake it to pieces with the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. There are big, powerful things, and that's not how God is going to call us. He is not going to rock this church and crack it in half to tell everybody in here, do your part. Do what you are commanded to do. Follow me. He's going to speak to you in a still, small voice. And I think you've heard it. I think you've heard him calling. I think you felt it. You know it. What are you going to do about it? Are you like the rich young ruler? I can't give up the other life I have. Or am I going to follow? Don't wait for a trumpet to sound before you come to God. He speaks and we must listen. We need to heed the still small voices calling you in this spiritual realm. Remember what he first read? He said, you can't even understand the earthly things which you see. You've got to be in the spirit to understand these things that are spiritual things. If you want to grow, you have to be part of the body and be a part of the body of Christ. Scriptures tell us the importance of meeting together, helping each other to live day by day. And in the church, in this congregation, amongst each other, we find strength. Together, we find that strength. We find our help. We find what we need that we're not going to find anywhere else. Here's a reference, I think, Brother David just read, Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some. Some don't do it. They say, okay, I'll follow Jesus Christ, but they don't attend. They don't become a part of the body. But exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We know we're seeing the day approaching. We're seeing things. We're seeing the signs of the times. I have no idea how long we got left. We might not have the rest of the day. We might have great-great-grandchildren from the youngest people in this room. I have no idea. And he doesn't try to tell us. He just says the day is approaching. Even if it's 1,000 years from now, our day is approaching. We don't, our life goes just like that. Have we made the best use of it? Do we assemble ourselves together? Do we take that opportunity to use the body of Christ to strengthen ourselves? I'm going to try something. Be interesting if it works. Who knows? You know, when you get a computer, you always wonder how good this is going to work. You know, it's great technology, but things don't always go the way you expect. But I'm going to show you something. A few weeks ago, in Milo's Sunday school class, my daughter assisted him in, they watched a video. And I found it pretty interesting. I don't know exactly what she taught in that class, but I would think it's probably along the same vein of what I'm talking about now. And if this works, I'm going to show it to you. Does it look familiar? Do I have the right video? Let's see if I can get some sound. Where's my speaker? Remember that in your Sunday school? Anyone want to tell us the lesson behind that? Anyone care to? Here, I'll bring you a microphone.
In that lesson, we were talking about the church, the body of the church, and we were talking about how all the parts working together creates something beautiful. We all have to work together.
Thank you. That's what I was hoping you would say. You know, that's one thing I usually don't try to do is let somebody answer something I don't know what they're going to say. But I was hoping that's exactly what you'd say, because that's what I'm trying to say. You know, we know that a piano, we've heard of pianos in this room being played beautiful music. We know that can happen. But we also, from that video, could see, I'm sure any one of those guys that were on that video could play that piano and make beautiful music. But when you put them all together, you got something new, something completely different, something very wonderful, very beautiful, because they were all working together. I'm sure everyone's heard many sermons concerning the body of Christ, the members who become one with Christ. Paul, he uses the physical body as an allegory for the church. In 1 Corinthians 12, 2, he says, "For as the body is one and hath many members," so we're talking about the body. There's a lot of us here. It's exactly what he's talking about. "And all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." We're the body of Christ, and there's many members. We are united. United as one. One body. And we think about it, you know, sometimes we look at ourselves and go, "Well, I'm not a useful member of this body." I've heard people say that. "Well, I don't get to do anything. Or I just, you know, I'm not, nobody would miss me if I wasn't here." That's not true. He goes on, "If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now are they many members, yet but one body." What I get from that reference is that everyone in this room is important. Everyone that has not joined the body of Christ is important, and they need to become part of the body, because we want all the parts. We want a complete body. We don't all have to stand behind the pulpit. We don't all have to play the piano. It's a good thing, because I can't. I took piano lessons. My teacher quit. That's how good I was. I had to find something else. We can't all do the same things, and that's why there is a body. 1 Corinthians 12:27, "But now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." It takes all of us to be the best that we can be. Everyone. And when you're not here, part of the body is missing. It takes you to become part of the body, to have access to all there is available to us of the Church of Christ. Again, we read this in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual and working and measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, we don't think about our joints till we get old and get arthritis, and then we start feeling every joint. But we have lots of them in us, and every single one of them are important. And you know how important they are when you all of a sudden you can't move your hands or bend your knees. They're all important. Every one of you is important to be a part of the body of Christ, to be here, to be active, to participate. And whatever it is you can do, you strengthen the body. You know, a great example is when Alma is speaking to a group of people. They too, like all of us, want to find eternal life. They want to live in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. And he lays out the responsibilities. Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to do that? He goes through this baptism class. And they say, yeah, we want to do that. We want to be a part of the body. We want to help others. We want to comfort them. We want to mourn with them. We want to do these things that the body does for each other. And then he goes on in verse 41 of chapter 9 of Mosiah. Now I say unto you, if this is the desire of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord? If you want to be a part of this body, what have you against joining it, being baptized, becoming that new creature that he says to the young ruler? Follow me. Give up this world you have and follow me. He says, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before him that you have entered into a covenant with him that you will serve him and keep his commandments? And then there's a promise that he may pour out his spirit more abundantly upon you. You want the best? You want the best you can get? You can have a more abundant spirit poured out upon you to strengthen you, to guide you, to direct you, to be there for you. This is what we need. This is what you want. This is what the young ruler want. Nicodemus wanted it. They can have that spirit that will bring them to eternal life. Another promise of God's blessing, a greater outpouring of his spirit to strengthen and to bless our life, comes in John 47:53, the source of salvation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. If you are taking upon you the name of Jesus Christ, you will live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Here they go. You know, they're missing the big picture, aren't they? They're looking at the physical, and he's saying, come unto me in the spiritual realm. Take my flesh, my blood upon you. Follow me. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Luke's gospel quotes Jesus speaking of the tribulation which is to come into this world. Great tribulation. Not the great tribulation, but great tribulation will come to you if you join the body of Christ. That's part of it. Because you are different than the world. And the world doesn't always like those that walk in a better path than they may be walking. Because you believe, because you say you are one of Christ, because you join the body, he says, people will hate you. That's okay. They hated me too. People despise you. People will say bad things against you. Remember what he did? I don't think any of us will be crucified. I'm confident of it. But he says in Luke 6:23, rejoice ye in that day. Be happy. And leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Rejoice when you are mocked. Rejoice when you're made fun of. When you suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Because like the rich young ruler, you will have eternal life. And your reward will be in heaven. The rich young ruler and Nicodemus were both looking for this path, a reward in heaven. And it is promised to us. If you forsake this world and follow him. I'm going to read John 10:26-28. He says, but ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. Small, still voice calling you out of this world. And I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What those people were looking for is right there in the palm of our hands. What we have to do is forsake this life, be born again, listen to that Spirit, join yourself to the body of Christ, and be an active part of the body of Christ. And it glorifies God. It strengthens the body. It helps each and every one of us. I'll just confess it to you. If I was up here preaching, and there was just one person sitting in a pew, it would be a lot harder for me than if there were 300 sitting in a pew. It don't make sense, but that's just the way it is. You strengthen me by me looking out here and seeing you. That's the only way I can stand up here. We all have these kind of quirks. And our brothers and sisters help us through them. In conclusion, we have not seen eternal life yet. But we have seen God's word. And we are hopeful, and it illustrates how the whole body, every one of us coming together, is a blessing to every one of us. We've seen the importance of assembling ourselves together and how it strengthens us and enables us to do that we as individuals cannot do. And we've seen, if we have not yet chosen to be a part of the body, we are missing out on a tremendous opportunity for a greater outpouring of God's Spirit upon us. There is a resurrection of the dead. It's foretold. It will happen. Those who have God's Spirit, according to His Word, those who are willing to submit unto His will, forsake our own, and follow Him, and be obedient to His will, shall dwell for all eternity in the city of God. Eternal life. Revelation 21:3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. We can look forward to that. I hope we look forward to that. If you're not in that path, consider it. You have two opinions. Pick the best one. If you're entered that path, stay in it. You still have two opinions. Always pick the best one. May God bless you each in that endeavor. Thank you.